5 red heifers have been delivered to Israel. Is this a sign of the end times coming to life? Listen to this interview with Michael Snyder as he discusses the significance of this event and many more end times biblical prophecy fulfillment after the sponsor break.
Read more stories on Spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of the subscription.
Thank you, Michael, for joining us again on Charisma News. We're excited to have you and to talk to you about your new book, End Times.
Thank you for having me on, Adelie. I think we're going to talk about some very exciting things today.
Yes, we are. But first, tell our listeners a little bit of why you were inspired to write this book.
Yeah, Adelie, you know, every day, and people mostly know me from my websites, and every day I spend countless hours researching and writing and digging into the news and everything that's going on in the world today. And, you know, and sometimes I get frustrated because I get in so much into the details, but I feel like people are missing out on the bigger picture. And really, there's a theme, a bigger picture that connects everything that you all talk about, that I talk about, that everything really that's going on in the headlines today. And it's the fact that we are at this time in all of human history when the great battle between good and evil is building up to a grand crescendo, that all of human history has been kind of building up to this moment, and that we are in the period of time just before Jesus comes back to this planet, the end times, the last days. The Bible talks about this period of time so much. And I think it's so important for people to realize that all the crazy things going on in the world, well, it's because that we're at this moment in history, this unique moment in history, and Jesus said there's never been a time like it before, there'll never be a time like it ever again, and God in his sovereignty and his divine wisdom decided to put each one of us, you, me, every single person that's listening, at this specific moment in all of human history, for a purpose, for a reason. He's got a job for each one of us to do. Now, what he has for me to do is going to be different from what he has to you to do or someone else to do, but each one of us, he put us here for a reason. And so instead of looking at all the crazy things going on in the world and saying, oh, woe is me, I'm so depressed, let me take some pills, I'm going to curl up in a corner and cry. No, we need to say, okay, things are going crazy. God put us here for a reason. He has something for us to do. What does God want me to do in this hour? And so my hope, you know, people say, oh, the book is about end times, it's going to be a book about doom and gloom. No, the book is designed to inspire you in this hour to figure out, to number one, help you realize where we're at, what's going on, and what's ahead of us, and then number two, help inspire you to get excited for what God's purpose is for you in this hour, because yeah, things are going to get a whole lot crazier than they are now, but in the midst of that, God has something for you to do.
Is there a specific now moment or event that happened that you said, I have to get this book out, or I'm going to miss my chance, or I'm going to miss being able to inform people what they're looking at or what they're seeing? Because you've written a lot of articles on events on the economy, volcanoes happening across the world with explosions. You even recently wrote one about how animals are starting to circle around and make circles around their walking around that they've had on Fox News and different reporting, like very strange different events happening around the world. Was there just one certain moment where you're just like, I have to get this all down in the book, everything that I've written on the most important news.com and other writings?
Well, yeah, I felt like an urgency to get this book out. But then also, I've been conflicted this whole time, Adelie, because I knew I had to get this book out. But I knew that more things were going to keep happening because things are happening so quickly now. So I knew if I got the book out that, well, then more things would happen afterwards. And I would miss out on that in the book. But then if I didn't get the book out, then people would never be able to read it if it never came out. So I was praying, what is the right time? And it kept getting delayed a little bit, and, you know, and because it just wasn't right yet. And the war with Russia and Ukraine started, and that was tied in with so much of what I put in my last couple of books, and so much is happening. And so I knew I had to get this out, but then the Lord kind of brought all the pieces together kind of through the fall season, and we were able to get it out in November. And I think it's come out at just a right time. But of course, more things are going to continue to happen. So I'm telling my readers, I want to get more books out more frequently to give people the bigger picture. And of course, I'm updating the websites on a daily basis. But we're at a time, you know, for decades, we've been hearing Jesus is coming back, the end times are coming. You know, well, you know, of course, Jesus hasn't come back yet, but I believe the message now needs to change, and people, we need to be saying, hey, the end times are here, the times that the Bible referred to, it's happening all around us. And so many of the pieces of the puzzle, in fact, I almost called the book Pieces of the End Times Puzzle, because it was a little long, so I just called it End Times. But so many of the pieces are coming together all at once, and we're going to touch on some of them today. But I have 43 chapters in the book. I have basically 43 different pieces of the puzzle I talk about in the book, you know, because so many of them are happening all at once. You know, it's not just wars and rumors of wars. It's not just pestilences. It's not just famine. It's not just red heifers, which we're going to talk about today, you know, but literally dozens of pieces of puzzle are all coming into place all at once. And that's because we really are in the end times.
When I was looking through some of your book, I haven't been able to read all of it. I found it very interesting, the different topics you're talking about. And I really do appreciate you went into this with research, not just you went through biblical research, prophetic research. I mean, you even went through all the different writings you've done and what was going on in the world and different news sources. So I really appreciate that you didn't just put this together just to say there's another prophecy out there to look for the end times. You're really giving us different facts that's going out in the world and different stories to look for. And like you said, one of the puzzle pieces we're about to talk about right now are the red heifers that in September, everybody was reporting that have arrived to Israel, and that a year from now, we're going to see them sacrificed in their dust for purity for the priest and different things. And what was even more interesting, they were found by a cattleman in the U.S. So tell us more about that. What can we expect to see by watching how the red heifers are in Israel now?
Yeah, this is very exciting, Adelie, because we've been, you know, ever since Israel retook Jerusalem in 1967, you know, people that preach about the end times is saying, hey, there's going to be another temple, but Israel needs a red heifer, a perfect red heifer to sacrifice before they can have a temple. So we've heard this all this time, and once in a while over the years, there's been rumor, oh, they might have found a red heifer, and then later we hear, oh, that one didn't work out. But basically, there hasn't been a red heifer in Israel for 2,000 years. And so if you go all the way back to Numbers 19, and we're not going to read it today because we don't have that much time, but that was, and you could read about the first time that a red heifer was sacrificed in Numbers 19, and it was for the purification of sin. It had to be a perfect red heifer without spot, without blemish. And this all foreshadowed basically the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice of the red heifer, because Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua in Hebrew, he was a perfect without blemish. He had no sin. Now the red heifer had red hair, and Yeshua, through the kingly line of King David, many believe had at least partly red hair. In fact, John Paul Jackson once had an experience where he went back and he saw King David and he was like, oh, he had red hair, you know, but that's a whole nother story, which I'm not going to get into. But many believe, and I believe, that Jesus had at least partly red hair. And that would tie in with the red heifer. And then also, the red heifer was sacrificed outside of the camp, outside of the city. And even today, the ceremony would happen outside of the city of Jerusalem, and where Jesus was died on the cross outside the city of Jerusalem. So it all ties into the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all this time, they've been searching for this red heifer. And throughout all of history, Natalie, only 9 red heifers have ever been sacrificed since the time of Moses, and none in the last 2,000 years. So they need this red heifer for Israel. And so, but there's a problem because, you know, all around the world, particularly here in the United States, whenever, you know, cows are born, they're tagged in the ear, which creates a blemish. But the red heifer needs to be without blemish. So even if a red heifer was born somewhere in the United States or elsewhere around the world, if they tagged the ear, that would create a blemish, which would disqualify it automatically from being a perfect red heifer needed for the sacrifice. So But fortunately, there was a cattle rancher here in the United States, tied in with a group of Christians in the West known as Bone Israel. But, you know, and they were searching and promoting the search for this red heifer. And this rancher in Texas, when he would have a red heifer born, he wouldn't tag the ear because he was aware of this, and he wanted to help find a red heifer. So that was a really good thing. So ultimately, several red heifers were born, but they have to be perfect because according to Jewish tradition, there can't be any more than two non-red hairs on the entire heifer. And the rabbi literally goes over every inch of the red heifer with a magnifying glass to search for non-red hairs. So there, and sometimes a red heifer is born and they develop non-red hairs later on. So that's part of the deal too. So they have to be watched as they grow up. But basically what happened is five perfect red heifers were identified, and then they were flown over to Israel. They arrived on September 15th. They landed at Ben Gurion Airport in Israel, and the Temple Institute held a modest ceremony while they were being unloaded. They took video. You can find video of it on my websites online. You can find videos of it. Unfortunately, it didn't make a huge amount of news here in the Western world, so a lot of people still haven't heard about it. But this is a really big deal in terms of the people that are preparing things for the temple over in Israel, because now they have five perfect red heifers. Now, these red heifers, you know, they have to be sacrificed at a specific age. In fact, it's 2 years and 1 day old. Okay, so when they were brought over, they were in September, they were all five of them were between 5 and 8 months old. So that means that they are going to be the appropriate age sometime in 2024, when they'll be the appropriate age, 2 years and 1 day old, according to Jewish tradition. And so at that point, once they reach that age, they either have to be used or they won't be able to be used at all, according to Jewish tradition. So I believe that it is very, very likely that we will see a red heifer ceremony in 2024. And then at that point, you know, not only, you know, will that kind of open the door for the reconstruction of the temple, but some people, there's speculation over there in Israel that they might just begin sacrifices even before the full construction of a temple, and they might have a tabernacle that, you know, so forth. And there's a lot of speculation about what that could look like. Could it be like a tabernacle of David? Has the tabernacle of David already been discovered? Do they know where it is? I believe they do. And that's a whole nother rabbit hole, which we won't go down today.
I'm taking note though.
Yeah. But just for a future program, if they come out and announce, hey, we discovered the tabernacle of David, and by the way, the Jewish authorities know where the Ark of the Covenant is under Jerusalem in a cave right now. They know where it is, but that hasn't been publicly announced. Once that's publicly announced, we could probably do another show about that. But all this is kind of, all these pieces are coming together for ultimately the resumption of sacrifices, which is something that we've been anticipating, look forward to, those of us that have studied Bible prophecy for decades. You know, I remember hearing about this back in the 80s and 90s and, you know, many decades ago. So this is very exciting, Adelie, and it's coming together. And the red heifers, five red heifers, are now in Israel. And probably we're looking at 2024 as the time when we could actually see a red heifer ceremony.
Is there any significance, though, them coming from America and from the U.S. with, like, U.S., Israel always supporting each other or being friends with heifers coming from there here?
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I think it speaks to the partnership between evangelical Christians here in the United States and our brothers in Israel, and ultimately I think that spiritually there's a more of a connection than people even realize, because we truly are connected in more ways than people realize. That's another rabbit hole, which we could go down someday. But I think that the Lord having the American Christians, people be involved in this and partnering with the Jewish people that are living in Israel. Now that you mention it, I think that is highly significant. But once again, that could take us down another very deep rabbit hole.
We're all about the rabbit holes today. We're putting the puzzle pieces together of the end times so we can go anywhere. The Lord will lead us somewhere else that we plan to go. Okay. The next thing I found very interesting in your book is you have a chapter about where you had a dream about Vladimir Putin. Speak a little bit into this. Like, what was the dream about and what are you seeing? And do you see any significance to what's happening today? Because we just recently heard in the news that he fell. There's still the war going on in the Ukraine. There's always something where Putin is in the news.
Yeah, you know, and because of the war in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin, you know, is one of the big figures in the world today. And of course, in previous books, Lost Prophecies of the Future of America, which I wrote in 2020, I warned, hey, the war with Russia is going to be coming. And as we covered on a previous program, when I first put that out, a lot of people said, oh, Michael, you're nuts. We're not going to have a war with Russia. There's not going to be a conflict. Well, you know, now there is a war with Russia. And in fact, the United States is providing far more of the money for the war than anyone else, far more of the equipment, far more of the ammunition. We're actually flying Ukrainians over here, as I documented in an article yesterday, training them in Kansas, other places around the country. And we're providing most of the high-level intelligence. So we're very, very deeply involved already in this conflict, which is very alarming to me personally. But this dream I had, which happened on the morning of February 23rd, 2022, this was just before the Russians launched their full-blown invasion of Ukraine. But I had this experience, this, you know, I call it a dream, but it's qualitatively and quantitatively different from a normal dream. If people have similar experiences, they know what I'm talking about, where that everything is so much more vibrant and vivid, and and it's just a very unusual experience. And I have these once in a while. I've had these since I've a very young child, and sometimes they're about important world events, but most of the time it's for me, my family, or personal things, which I wouldn't share with the public. And then, you know, I'll see something and later on it actually happens and so forth. But this was one of those times. And so I was sleeping, and then the Lord showed me that Vladimir Putin was in danger, and he wasn't in the Kremlin at the time. In my experience, he had traveled somewhere unusual. I had the impression that the purpose of his visit may have been to visit troops near the conflict zone, but I didn't know the exact location where Vladimir Putin was. But I saw that something had happened and Vladimir Putin had been knocked down to the ground. Of course, in a experience like that, knockdown could mean a number of different things. But I had the impression that he was physically affected by whatever had happened. And I saw this multiple times. And when you see something in an experience multiple times, that means something. That can mean that it's definitely going to happen, or it can mean that God is kind of putting an exclamation point on it. But I saw it happen multiple times. Now, in this experience, I was shown that Vladimir Putin did not immediately die as a result of what had happened, that he had been knocked down. But I clearly had the impression that Western powers were behind whatever happened, you know, to him, that had caused him to kind of fall over. And in the experience, Putin seemed to understand this as well. In fact, in my experience, I had the impression that the attack had made Putin and the other Russian leaders more paranoid than ever before. And so that experience ended. But immediately after, I did not wake up. Immediately after, I had another experience which really shook me up. In this experience, Adelie, I was shown a computer screen. And on the computer screen, the screen was white. But then there was a little rectangular box, which you would often see, you know, it's like a typical search box that search engines even use. Okay. But inside the little search box, I saw the word dead. It was just the word dead, D-E-A-D, in all capital letters. And it was followed by a period. by a period. And so I also saw, I saw that multiple times. And so I didn't know what that was referring to. But I, you know, I thought, well, is this going to refer to, does this refer to Vladimir Putin? Since I saw this immediately after the other experience. So that's a good question. So let me give you, and then that experience ended, but let me give you kind of give you, you some of my thoughts on this. Because later on, many months later, at long after the invasion of Ukraine, we learned, it was reported in the Daily Mail, other sources, where it was reported that Ukraine's intelligence chief, and I'll probably butcher his name, Kirilo Budinov, I probably butchered his name, but anyway, he was saying that Vladimir Putin was, there was an assassination attempt. And at the time, he was saying it happened 2 months ago, so it would have happened very early in the war, but this is the first we are hearing about it months later. He was hearing about it, that there was an assassination attempt, and that that he had that that they had almost got him, that he had been apparently hurt. It was unsuccessful, but he didn't die. But that they had tried to get him. Now, and he was saying these were some people from the Caucasus that had tried to assassinate him. I think probably more likely Western intelligence was ultimately behind it, that had been funding and trying the attempt. But anyway, but so there had been an assassination attempt on Putin. He had been knocked down and hurt, but it was not successful. He did not die. So does that tie in with what I was shown? I don't know. I think maybe it's likely. You know, of course, then it was just in the news this week, Putin fell down. He, you know, he had that episode where, you know, it was being reported in the mainstream media where he was, fell down. Does that have anything to do with it? I don't know. Now, ultimately, in the second experience I had where I think that it is likely that it does refer to Vladimir Putin being dead eventually. I do believe that Putin will die. In fact, John Paul Jackson once saw that Putin will ultimately be replaced by someone that's even worse. So a lot of people out there, Adelie, think, oh, if Vladimir Putin dies and he goes away, well, then whoever it replaces him, that things could get better. No, actually, John Paul Jackson has shown it's going to be even worse. So, you know, when Vladimir Putin ultimately dies, and it appears he does have major health problems, I do believe that he will die, that you know, a lot of people will cheer. But ultimately, Adelie, I don't think it'll be anything to cheer about.
Well, Russia kind of has a history of that with some of their leaders, where when one dies, it seems like another one that took over was even worse than the one before. And from just even my era of growing up, when it was the Soviet Union, it didn't seem like every one of them, when you had, like, even prior to Stalin, one was worse and one wasn't. It just seems like in history, it just follows a lot of the dictators in Russia have never always been the best after following another one. So I can understand where you would say that. And also, just my mom has a saying, like, why trade the devil you know for the devil you don't? So in Russia, it'd be like, if Putin dies, you might be trading it for an even higher level of a spiritual devil we don't even know about, who would have to fight.
Yeah, and Vladimir Putin is surrounded by people that are very hawkish, you know, mm-hmm. that are, you know, so many people around him are urging him to take things up even more, to hit Ukraine even harder, to be even tougher with NATO. So the people around him right now are very, very hawkish, and ultimately it'll be from that crowd around him that the next leader comes. And so, and we see an escalation since last talked, things have escalated even more with Russia specifically targeting the power and water systems of Ukraine, which they didn't do early in the war. But now they're specifically trying to take out the power and the water. So just imagine being in freezing cold Ukraine in the middle of winter and there's no power indefinitely. You know, if things are going to get really, really cold over there. Ukraine, would just this week, has been striking military targets deep inside of Russia. You know, and so that's another escalation, you know, which is probably going to prompt even more of a response from Russia. But both sides just keep escalating matters even more, keep conscripting more troops, keep hiring more mercenaries, both sides. And so that we're seeing an escalation, and that should deeply alarm all of us.
Does this have any reflection off what Revelation says about Russia, or when they refer to the bear or anything, or Russia maybe partnering with China in as a superpower or anything like that?
Well, ultimately, I believe that the places that specifically refer to this period were in Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about wars and rumors of wars, along with a whole bunch of other signs which are coming. And then I believe that the relevant part of Revelation is Revelation chapter 6, where we're talking about the seals, and because one of the seals brings war. And so I believe that this war in Ukraine and with Russia and this whole thing coming together is only one of the wars we're watching. But because ultimately, as we've talked about before, as I've warned about for years, as I've written about in previous books, there's going to be war with China. And a lot of people said, and when I first started writing about that, a lot of people said, Michael, no, you're wrong. There's never going to be a war with China. And it's okay for people to disagree with me, because I don't know anyone that agrees with me 100%, Adelie. So it's okay. When we're talking about Bible prophecy, if you hear something I say that you don't agree with, that's okay.
Right.
We can disagree. We're all believers. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ.
It's called good debating.
Yeah. So if you don't agree with me 100% about everything, that's okay. You know, I want people to understand that, you know, but, you know, as I've documented in my books, God has been showing people for decades, so many people, that there would be war with Russia. He's shown so many people that there would be war with China. And ultimately down the road, Adelie, the United States is going to be fighting Russia and China at the same time, you know? You know, that's the unfortunately the future we're headed for, because of the judgment of God that's coming upon this nation in many different ways, but war is going to be one of them, unfortunately. And so, you know, and then we're also watching Israel and Iran, which I think could erupt at any time, because, you know, just this week, Benjamin Netanyahu, he held an interview. He said, I'm going to stop Iran, you know, period. Now, how is he going to stop Iran? Because the Iranians aren't going to stop their nuclear program on their own. The only way that can happen is by military force. And
right.
Netanyahu years ago, he said, I'm never going to allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Now the IAEA says Iran has enough nuclear material to create a nuclear weapon. So it's put up or shut up time. Netanyahu's about to come into power. He says, I'm going to stop Iran. The only way that can be done is by military force. And if Israel directly uses military force against Iran itself, against their nuclear program, well, that's going to start the war between Israel and Iran that we've all been anticipating and waiting for, and that God has warned people in advance that's coming. So there's these three wars, that big wars that we're watching for, which I believe ties in directly with Matthew 24, and with Revelation chapter 6, and that God has warned us in advance, not only in the scriptures, but through prophetic experiences that people have been having literally for decades, which all agree with one another, which I documented in my book, Lost Prophecies of the Future of America, which are now starting to come to pass right in front of our eyes. And Adelie, this is just one piece of the overall prophetic end times puzzle.
What is the Lord showing you that could possibly be coming in 2023 that we need to watch out for? Or are you seeing signs out there with all the different news stories with what is happening in the U.S. with the economy, with our politics, with even jobs and food? And this is just going on all around the world that has nothing to do with wars. Is there different things that we're not paying attention to that we need to be paying attention to that can lead up to bigger?
Yeah, if someone wants a roadmap for the trends for 2023, literally just turn to Matthew chapter 24, because we just talked about wars and rumors of wars, right?
Right.
Okay, now pestilences. Now Jesus said, you know, and that's in the multiple, that they're pestilences, okay? Because right now, we've had COVID for the past couple of years, but then in this year, we had the monkeypox erupted, we had then the bird flu pandemic erupted, which up to this point in the United States and Europe alone, more than 100 million chickens and turkeys have been wiped out just in the United States and Europe alone. Now it's starting to spread like wildfire in Japan, other places. And there's a resurgence in the Western world of this bird flu. And so chickens and turkeys and eggs are starting to become a lot more expensive. But that was another pestilence. Now they're telling us we have a tripledemic here all over the United States because of new strains of COVID are circulating. Plus, we have a massive resurgence of the flu. Plus, we've got RSV, which is filling up our hospitals like crazy. In fact, one recent month, it was either last month or the month before, parents missed more days of work here in the United States than ever before in a single month, even what we saw during the COVID pandemic, because so many kids were getting sick, filling up our hospitals. Literally in some hospitals in this country, not only have sick kids filled up every single bed in the hallways, but they're literally putting children in chairs and treating them in chairs because so many kids have RSV now, which is a very serious respiratory illness, killing children, killing elderly adults. And so that's here. And these things are spreading like wildfire now because we've got so many people with compromised immune systems. Basically, with so many people having compromised immune systems, not only in the United States, but all over the world because of everything that's happened. Basically, it's perfectly set the stage for pestilences to spread like wildfire all over the globe. Diseases that we would normally even be able to handle fairly well. Well, now we got a couple billion people with compromised immune systems, and that is just setting the stage for a health nightmare. So pestilence is another trend to watch. Then thirdly, Jesus warned about famines coming in the last days. The global food supplies are getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Every single day, more people are dropping dead from starvation. Right now in Eastern Africa, children are dropping dead. More than 7 million, and this is actually an old number now, I don't have a more updated number, but more than 7 million animals in Eastern Africa, most of them livestock, have already dropped dead because of drought and famine. And global food supplies are getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Meanwhile, economic problems, which tie into famine and food supplies and so forth. Here in the United States, we're seeing 41% of U.S. small businesses couldn't pay rent last month. Manufacturing orders from China are down 40%. I wrote about this week, as the holiday season is going to be extremely disappointing. We're seeing home prices start to crash. U.S. homeowners lost $1.3 trillion in home equity during the third quarter alone, all-time record. We didn't even see anything like that during the housing crash of 2008, 2009. And so we're seeing all these economic problems start to escalate in both here and all over the world. We've already seen cryptocurrencies, most of the tokens have crashed 60, 70, 80%. FTX has gone under, causing massive problems in the financial system. So that's another trend. And then lastly, Adelie, another trend people to watch for, natural disasters. Jesus warned there would be earthquakes in diverse places. Since we had our last conversation, Adelie, I wrote an article about the earthquakes happening along the Ring of Fire, off the coast of Alaska, off several big ones, off the coast of the West Coast of the United States. So I wrote that article, put it out there. It was picked up by the Drudge Report, went mega viral, got tons of views. As the Drudge Report spread it all over the world. And so we've had all these earthquakes, but then the focus has shifted this week, Adelie, to volcanoes, where we've seen in Hawaii, Mount Kilauea, and now Mauna Loa. Mauna Loa has erupted for the first time in decades. So now for the first time since 1984, we've got Kilauea and Mauna Loa erupting at the same time. We just saw Mount Semeru violently erupt in Indonesia, sending hot ash a mile into the sky. So now the focus has shifted to volcanoes. And I just wrote an article about the volcanoes, how and our world is becoming more unstable because of all the seismic activity. And I believe it's going to get a lot worse. Then also, meanwhile, global weather patterns are going crazy. In fact, right now, Adelie, in terms of the global, in terms of the snow cover in the Northern Hemisphere, for this time of the year, it's the most snow cover in the Northern Hemisphere that we've ever seen at this time of the year ever recorded. So, and we're still 2 weeks away from the beginning of winter. So it's already extremely cold, extremely snowy, so much for the whole global warming thing. But, and we've got more snow cover than we've ever seen at this time of year. And now, you know, what is the rest of winter going to look like? I don't know, but global weather patterns have just been going crazy for the last couple of years. I expect that to continue. So all these things, people want to look for those four trends. And then there's so many other things I talk about in the book in terms of pieces of the end times puzzle that are falling into place. But if you want just a general roadmap for what's coming, look at Matthew 24. And I'll ultimately look at Revelation chapter 6, because I believe those are the times we're moving into.
These really are exciting times. You have shared so much information with us today, Michael. I am so thankful that you joined us on this episode of Charisma News to share about your new book, End Times. Tell our listeners where they could get the book and where they can read more about your writings and the different articles that you write and provide.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on, Natalie. If people want to follow my work on a regular basis, because so many things are happening every day and I'm constantly updating the websites. Well, you can find my websites. The website I'm most known for is the Economic Collapse Blog. It's theeconomiccollapseblog.com. I also have endoftheamericandream.com and then themostimportantnews.com. Now, if you go to any of those websites, you'll see big banner ads for the book. And you can just click on those. They'll take you straight over to Amazon. Or you can go straight to Amazon.com and just type in End Times and Michael Snyder, and it'll bring the book right up. And you can find it there in paperback and in Kindle format if you prefer to read it electronically. But I would encourage people to go and get the book and get the information. There's more information in there than I've ever put in any book I've ever written. But then just don't enjoy it for yourself. But these books are designed to be soul-winning books. They're books designed to wake people up. And at this time of year, you know, people are accustomed to receiving gifts. You know, if you give someone a book, they'll say, oh, yeah, thank you. You know, happy holidays to you as well or whatever, you know. So get these books and use them as witnessing tools. Give them to family, friends, whoever you want to wake up. Because once you're done reading this book, there'll be no doubt that we really are living in the end times.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen next year and in the following days, even leading up to 2023, as we're recording this like 2 weeks before Christmas. So I'm just excited. I can't wait to see if what else is going to happen that we've been looking forward to, that we've been taught through biblical prophecy to look for the end times. So, Michael, why don't you take us out in prayer and lead us on a positive note that there is still hope and that God is still out there and he has his hand on us.
Sure. Let's pray. Abba, Father, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that people would be blessed by what we have to share today. And I pray that people would have hope because, Father, you warned us about all these things in advance. You put all these warnings in scriptures, not to scare us, not so that we'd be afraid, but so that we can understand that you have all of history in your hands, that you are in control, that you are God, and that you see the end from the beginning, and that you put out all of history in advance. You see all of history, and you warned us, hey, these things are going to come. They have to come. But ultimately, at the end of all this, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And Father, we are going to get to be with you forever. We're going to get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And that's a hope and a future that is greater than anything that the world or anyone else could ever offer. And you've given to us the ultimate ending, the ultimate thing to look forward to. We get to be with you forever. And that's a hope we get to can share with the world. So help us to be witnesses. Help us to be soul winners. Help us to proclaim your truth and your gospel to the entire world. Help us to bring in the greatest harvest of souls in all of human history. And Father, we pray that you would empower us and that you would bring the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. And I pray that we could be part of it, that we could be part of your end times move, that we could be, that you could show us what you want us to do in this hour, that we could be excited to be at this time when the great battle between good and evil is coming to a great conclusion. And you put us here and we get to be here for it. Help us to be absolutely thrilled and excited with the purposes that you've given to us, that you put us here for, the jobs that you've given us to do. Help us to fulfill the purposes that you put us here for, Father, and help us to do what you have placed us here to do. You put us here for such an hour as this, and we want to do whatever you want us to do, Father. And we pray all this today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
You're listening to Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adelie.